It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the double dragon of radio. You can join chat room, the den pen, by going to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den page. Do that, Pip will moderate that for you. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. On the side of the parkway, efforting to get to a gig, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how's it going?
And sitting in the dark, where she belongs, Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
So we have Joe for an hour, and then for the hours 2 and 3, we'll be joined by comedian Kevin Lee. Welcome, Kevin, back to the show. On the show, a Florida sheriff's office has a secret list of children. Ooh. Let's see. But because they think they're headed for a life of crime. It's not like because they're hot. So it's because they think they're headed for a life of crime. Let's see. A New York City school circulates an anti-white letter. Harvard wants to ban Trump officials. A man gives birth to his kid and wants to be recognized as the kid's father. A New York City restaurant will charge you to take a COVID test and dine indoors. And Pip has put together a nice game of Dead or Alive. So much going on in the world, much going on here. I got a little heads up right before we went to air that Joe is having a rough couple days. So we will start with Joe.
Oh yeah, holy cow. I'm getting it from all ends. I am spending money like it's going out of style. I had my car had to go. I went to routine maintenance for my car. I just wanted an oil change. So while I'm there, I find out that one of my tires is shot, and I have to go lay out $140 on a tire. And then Then they tell me I'm going to need rear brakes, and then I need ball joints. So that's probably going to be about $500. Yesterday, I had to go for root canal,
ooh,
which means not only are they going canaling through my freaking mouth, they're canaling through my fucking wallet. So that's a fortune.
Yeah, but don't you have insurance for that?
I do, but some of it's like you only get a certain amount in a year, and I have some left. I found out today at the day program, we have like what we call flex spending, a flex account, which I have money in there, which I didn't know I could use for dental bills. So I'm going to be using that, so I kind of caught a break. And also, my furnace. My gas furnace decided to be an air conditioner.
Oh.
And it was spitting out cold air. So I had to call the guy, and the guy couldn't have the guy come over yesterday because I had to go to the dentist and the day program, and then we had a Zoom meeting afterwards, and he put me on will call. So I just said, why don't you come over this morning? And I spent a nice frigid night. Thank God I was able to get some heat out of him.
But wait a minute. Why couldn't the guy do what he has to do while you're on the Zoom meeting? Why can't you tell your boss, listen, if I have to get called away for just a quick second, it's because I don't have heat here, but he's going to do his thing, and I'm going to go attend our meeting as long as possible.
Because in the meeting, they're explaining to us our business plans for the next 2 years, and it looks like it's going to be rough go. You know, it's going to be a rough business year. And I want to sit there, and I want to hear. I don't want to miss 1 second because they're laying out.
Yeah, but it's Zoom. It's recorded. If you miss anything, you could play it back. That's the beauty of Zoom.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't look good. when, you know, it's almost like the show. You could think it's steamy.
I just said if you told your boss ahead of time, you told your, I have no heat, I'm going to be in our Zoom meeting, but if the heating and air conditioner guy needs me for a second, I'm going to go to him for a brief minute and I'll be right back. He doesn't want to see you sitting there chattering your teeth with your little criminal stocking hat on either. You know, you're no good to him dead.
I left the hat off.
Oh, fancy.
I mean, I wear the hat on our show because I am a creep.
Your creeping hat.
I don't know. Your boss has been pretty understanding in the past. I think if you said, listen, I'm not going to have heat tonight. You know, I just got the guy rooting around here. He might not interrupt at all, but if he does, this is what's going on. You told him ahead of time. I think he would have understood. I don't think he wants you to get pneumonia.
Yeah.
I would hope not.
Yeah, I didn't want to miss anything on it, so I figured I could hold it off. So luckily, I was able to, the house got down to about 57 last night, and I'm like, all right, I'm dying here. And I was able to turn the heat on because it was working intermittently, and I was able to get some heat out of it for until about 2 o'clock. And then it started saying, I'm going to be an air conditioner now.
Till 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not fun.
So, yeah. So I'm like, all right, you know, and I bundle because I usually keep the heat at my house on 65.
Oh my God!
So I really don't. I don't. You know, I usually keep it. You know, try to keep it cool anyway.
That's too cold. My wife's got it at 68. You know, it's fine when you're sleeping if you like it cool, but during the day in the den, it's a little fucking chilly. You fucking heat Nazis. Relax. Give us a little heat. Relax.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save on money here, you know?
So, I don't know. I say treat yourself to those 4 or 5 degrees. You deserve it. You work hard.
It's a good thing he was on cooling because now he's going to be burning money.
Yeah, well, he's like a fucking snake. He's well adjusted to it. He's like cold blooded, you know. Joe just flops out around, you know, 7 a.m. when the sun's out, finds a nice rock to lay on. You know, Joe's good for the day then.
Yeah.
Do you want a heat lamp, Joe?
We should get Joe a heat lamp this year. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
Maybe a little cave.
And a nice log to lie on.
That'd be nice, a little cave for him. Then he could shed his skin. That'd be nice.
Mm. He just slick his tongue out and get flies.
He already does that, but the police don't like it when he does it in his school zone, so he has to be careful.
I have to be discreet in my fly eating.
And your tongue flicking. It's the tongue flicking that scares the children.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My.
If you get a Middle Eastern man playing a little ditty on a wind instrument and Joe starts flicking and dancing around, it can be quite mesmerizing. So you can't have that in the school zone.
Yeah, but I'm going to be starting that up again so I can get some change.
Look at Joe adding another job. Look, good for you, Joe. Keep on working. A lot of the takers are staying home and not working, but Joe's going that extra mile, being the charming part of snake charming. Good for you, Joe.
We're gonna need to get you a really big basket, though.
Well, what are we getting him? Are we getting him the heat lamp or the basket? We're not made of money here.
Well, you know. Well, we could do divide and conquer.
All right.
Yeah.
You go find him a big log and a heat lamp, and I'll find a really big basket. I mean, Pier 1 Imports has got to have something.
I don't even think Pier 1 Imports is in business anymore.
You know what, Davin?
Yeah.
I know.
When we finally get back on the road, if we're doing the road, I guess in 2029 or whenever that's going to be.
Yes.
When you could pull a fast one, and when they bring me out, you can have the music go, na 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 na.
Then there'll be some liberal in the audience going, he's culturally appropriating that music. He's not Middle Eastern or a snake. And then we'll have complaints. I can't have
you
that.
You know what, though? My last name is Curry, so they'll probably say, oh, how nice to see his last name is Curry, so they're playing music like that.
Oh, that could be. that could be the workaround. All right, fine. We'll appropriate the music.
And you go straight from the basket into the pan. Watch yourself.
You know what's funny? We have to wait for COVID to be over, the clubs to get back on their feet, the rotations to kick in, us actually get a gig, book the gig, and get to the gig, and then, but nonetheless, we got the music worked out for that night.
That's good. Got to plan ahead. Got to be ready to slither when we get the green light.
You can see everything that needs to be done right next to music. There's the check mark right there.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's gonna be wild till the comedy. But anyway, so you're freezing your tuchus off this morning.
Yeah. So the guy comes off, very good company. They came over around 8, right on time at 8 o'clock. And now my day program, we're in the heating business, but we sell. It's a different unit than I have. So the guy, nice enough guy, starts working on the unit. He goes, well, we could change this part and do this, and we could do a cleaning and stuff like that. And it's like it's going to be like $400. And I'm like, okay. And there's a heating unit, heating element. And he goes, well, this part of it is, and that's part of the $400. I go, you know, I priced this out yesterday. We priced it at $16.
Oh!
Yeah, but it's part of the unit and stuff like that. So what I did was, and this guy actually knows my tech, one of my techs. So I called him, and I go, Tim, this is what the guy wants to do, this, that, and the other thing. He goes, well, you want to know something? He's got a point. You know, you need this, that, and the other thing, and blah, blah, blah. So,
Wait a minute. Hold on. Why can't you get the part wholesale and Tim do it for you?
Because trying to get one of my guys in, especially now when I have no heat during the holiday, is next to impossible.
Yeah, but wait, Tim, you couldn't throw Tim a couple $100 like after the work day. So, you know, you pay for parts, you throw him a couple hundred extra bucks. So you're still saving yourself money. He's making extra money for the holidays, whatnot. Couldn't do that? That's the whole point.
Nah, you're trying to get, trying to get those guys is next. Plus, if you need a part, I mean, he would have to run and get a part. This guy's got the parts on the truck, it's kind of keyed in there. So basically, we got to 400, and then it was up to 800 because we needed another part. And then he's about to leave, and then the gas valve solenoid is not working. So now we're up to $1,700, to get the thing fixed.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why not just get a brand new one at that point?
Well, I didn't realize, how expensive, because basically we discussed it. I thought the ones we had were $3,000.
Right.
And my guy at work goes, you got to run in about $600-$700. And I go,
right.
But for what it would cost, the unit's pretty much it's rebuilt. He told me, we'll get another 10 years out of the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy should have done the cost analysis for you. I mean, he should have been like, listen, this is how much it is for a new one. It have a warranty, should last, 10, 15 years. This is how much I rebuild it. You should be able to make that decision for yourself. It shouldn't, it shouldn't be like, oh, by the way, we just fixed it. If I was you, I would have gotten a new one. You're not moving.
As we went on, believe me, I could rub Lincoln off a penny, but it was just one of those things where it's like you had to get the heat fixed. This is what's going to cost. The unit is pretty much a rebuilt unit, and it is what it is. I got my heat. I need the heat,
So,
we're going into a week. I'm going into a holiday weekend. It's not something. I'll give you an example, Dav. I gotta get brakes. On the truck needs rear brakes, and I need ball joints. And I'm not going, oh, holy cow, I'm shopping around for that.
I think you should wait as long as possible for the brakes. As a matter of fact, if I was you, I wouldn't get them fixed at all. And you should drive fast.
Funny.
And you know what? You're an experienced driver. I think we have some wet weather coming up. That's a great time to see how much left you have on the brakes. You should go out this week. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. So that's $1,700. Meanwhile, one of my keyboards, the right channel isn't working. It was working intermittently. And then I go, well, while the band is on break, because I don't know we're going to be rehearsing again, probably New Year, let me go get this fixed. It turns out there's nothing wrong with it, and it was a $103 bench charge. And I can't complain, because the guy that I take it to, I've had some of my older keyboards there where there's no hope, and he waived the bench charge.
All right.
So, it's just been one thing after.
Yeah, but if I was you, I would not have gotten the keyboard done right now with all this stuff, knowing that you have some time and you have other keyboard. I would have waited on the keyboard until some of that Santa Claus money or comedy money starts rolling in.
Well, yeah. Well, so the comedy money when I'm making tonight is paying for the keyboard to get fixed. So, you know, it'll go one patient to the other. As for Santa Claus, I spoke to the booker, and I'm only doing Christmas Eve, and because I told her I can't do these shows. The parents don't listen. The kids could give a shit less. So there's two families that I've done for the past several years for Christmas Eve. Both things are going to be outside, social distancing, mask.
No.
And that's the only two things I got with the Santa Claus. And I thought long and hard about that because I can't jeopardize, you know, some kid or, you know, somebody in their family getting sick. And now, you know, and now I got a quarantine, you know,
yeah.
And now, you know, and now I'm out of the day program for a week or whatever it is. So, you know, and she understood, you know, she's going through a lot of it and stuff like that. She mentioned that there was a magician, like a Santa magician that she uses that, the family didn't want him in a mask, and you know, and they didn't want him to wear a mask. And I told him, a magician, you know what I would do? I'd disappear. I go, I wouldn't go for that shit, you know.
Who
are you? Some people don't get it, you know. But
I don't want Santa in a mask. All right, are you going to pay for his respirator? You crazy bitches! Fuck them.
Yeah. Really.
Fuck
that noise.
That's crazy. It just reminded me. A couple years ago, I did a comedy gig on New Year's Eve, and I was in somebody's house, and I just wound up making fun of them. But it was really crowded. Last year, they called me to do it. I couldn't do it because I was, you know, I was able to travel, be someplace warm and nice, and work. So I got them somebody else. I was just wondering if they're going to call me for this year. Can't do it. Can't do it this year if you're all crowded into a house because there's no way to social distance.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, and like I said, the booker understood because she was having, you know, a lot of families don't want to do it. That you know, social distancing, it's not worth it. You know, for these two people, you know, if the social distancing has, and also it's families that I've done before,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's fine. But it's like I said, I'm taking a hit everywhere. I mean, like with the day program. There's no raises this year. There's no bonuses because they kept us working. I mean, they've been very good to us, and we all get it. There's not even an issue with it. So that revenue stream is there. Like I said, Santa Claus, there's nothing coming in really from there. The only thing I have hoping for is what we have is the STAR program in New York, where you get money back. They give you a refund on your taxes.
Oh, it's our school districts, right? I think.
They said the checks are going out. They said the checks are going to be at the end of November. Well, it's the end of November, so hopefully I get that check in.
Oh, I just got money deposited into my account, and I didn't know what the hell it was, and it said refund, so I guess it was a STAR.
Oh.
Oh, good. Goody. Good.
I'll have to check on that. I'll have to actually go to the mailbox, because usually, here's the thing about mail. When you're a kid, it's very exciting. When you're an adult, it's nothing but bad news.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mr. Helix keeps an eye on our bank account every day, and which is terrible because when I use PayPal to buy his birthday or Christmas gifts, there's the vendor. So no surprises in our house. But he mentioned that we got that, and I'm like, look, I'm not sticking up my nose at free money, but what is it, you know?
That's going to help a lot of people.
Right.
It's going to help a lot of people in New York this year. So I did a couple shows this past week. As I plugged Friday night inside.
And Davin, can I just say that Lisa says, tell Mr. Davin and Joe that I'm thrilled for them to be getting back to comedy work.
Thank you, Lisa. We are thrilled to be disappointing our audiences in comedy work. It's been a while since we rubbed people the wrong way. Well, outside of our family and friends. So it's nice. So I had two shows inside a club. As I mentioned, it was a cabaret show. Joe, I believe, asked me if I'd be dancing. I think that was Joe's remark because he's a classy man. So the opening, you walk in and there's a jazz band, a trio. And then there's a vocalist and she happens to be her father, is the musician with her. He could play a whole bunch of instruments. And then it's me. And now, so there's a, performers are hanging out in like a room attached to the showroom. So it's like off the showroom, you walk in, there's like service bar, and then you go back a little further. That's where we're hanging out. And there's a pool table area, which is dark, so nobody's hanging out there. But it's a nice little place. You can see what's going on, kind of see what's going on in the club, can kind of hang out back there. Now, right. I have to do two shows here. This is the longest I've been inside, like a club, since the pandemic started. I mean, Joe and I, did a senior center that I put together a couple of weeks ago, but that, you know, Joe and I went outside in between, we were really far away from everybody, so it's a little different than a club environment where you really can't get far away. I did not feel unsafe other than being close to Joe after Trump's loss, as I did. The only time I felt unsafe, and then you go, oh, Pip checked up on me. Oh, Pip's a good egg. Anyway.
Well, you know what? I do have to give all credit to Lisa because she was worried about you, and I said, you know, I haven't heard from him. So Lisa gets most of the credit for that.
Well, in Joe's defense, he was very busy. You know, President Trump had called Joe and said, listen, I have a lot of legal battles coming up. I know you have no experience in this, but you have to be a better option than Rudy Giuliani. And Joe said, sorry, I'm busy. You're going to have to go with Rudy. So that's why Joe didn't get back to people.
Yeah. Washing the car.
I was like, where's Joe? Well, I'm washing the car.
He's washing the car. He's doing manual labor. Because you know, once Biden gets into office, there's going to be no more washing cars. It's part of the socialism, I tell you. There'll be no more suds, no more washing cars, no more big sponges. It's all going away. Anyway, that's not the
point. You'll see.
I'll see.
He was doing manual labor. I didn't think he went that way, but you know what? All the best to you and Manuel.
Oh, look at, well, you know, listen, anything for benefits. Anyway, so I'm wearing the mask the whole time except when I'm performing, and I got a thick mask. My sister-in-law like made it out of like pillowcases, but not cheap pillowcases like you get at the Motel 6. Like these are like the flannelly pillowcases that like when you sleep, you can't sleep on them in the summer because like you sweat. Like it gets the My Pillow guy so hot that he thinks he's gay. That's so hot. That so right. They're very thick. They're very thick, which is great for blocking the COVID, and they have a filter inside. Where you could slide in the filter. They're very thick. They're not the most comfortable, but they protect you. So I wear them. Now I bring my own microphone. I walk in. The waitresses are very nice. One asked me if I'm funny. Joe, how many times do you walk into a club? Does somebody ask you if you're funny? How often does that happen?
Oh yeah, enough times. Are you going to be funny tonight? No, I'm reading my fucking tax return. Stupid.
What a dumb question.
Get it all the time. Get it, or when I was when I was booking stuff, are the comedians funny? And my answer pretty much all the time is, you know, I always go, no, I suck. That's what I said. Or I hope for the best, or I don't know, this is my first time. I never say, yeah, I'm funny. Do you like Kevin Hart? Well, he learned from me. I never say any shit like that. You know, I just say I suck. And she laughed at that. She's like, good. She's like, I find that the comedians that say they're good aren't funny. So I guess that's true.
True.
Yeah. I mean,
when they're all full of themselves like that, it's like, oh, this is going to be a groaner.
Yeah. No. So I hate that question. It's like, are you going to be able to serve the drinks without spilling them on somebody's lap? You don't ask that question. Yeah. You assume the best. You know.
Are you going to water the booze tonight? You know,
are you going to water down the booze tonight? No, I was hoping on giving you real shots tonight.
It's almost like when people say, you know, if you say you're a comedian, they're like, oh, say something funny. Oh God,
that outfit you're wearing, and then you walk away. Anyway, so I'm talking to one of the performers. Gotta say, not great mask technique. I notice these things now. As comics, we observe things. Not great mask techniques. It's below the nose. It's loose on the mouth. But much like at a concert, when somebody really needs to sit down or be shushed, I am a pussy. The only person who I've ever told to wear a mask was like a Hasidic guy at Walmart months ago. For some reason, I felt emboldened. But everybody else, I'm just... Because I feel like that's my responsibility. You're making us all look bad over here.
And if anybody goes, you're anti-Semitic, really, Rosenblatt?
True.
I'm trying to keep everybody alive, but I don't say anything. But these are the things I notice. And then some of the other performers that were in the back, they don't wear the mask at all. And I don't say anything. It's a weird situation. I don't like if I was working with Joe and he didn't have his mask on. I go, put your mask on, stupid. But I know Joe. You know, it's
right. Yeah.
I was unable to channel my inner Pip. Unfortunately, Pip would have handled this. Pip would have told these people what's what and said, put your mask on. But I am a pussy. I am half the man that Pip is, and I admit it.
They're funny.
Getting older emboldened me to stand up for myself, and so now, but not like to the point where I'm like lashing out at people. It's just like only when I think it's deserved. I shut my mouth most of the time.
You know what it is though. As comics, we're used to standing in front of audiences saying whatever we want. People are terrified of saying anything in public or anything in front of strangers or anything like that. Believe me, I've been in a situation where I'm like, holy shit. I go, you're not on stage, where you're just laying into people and stuff like that out of a club environment. And it's like people just look at you like they're mortified. And it's like, you know, you forget. It's like, oh, I don't give a shit what I say in public. I've been, you know,
yeah, but
for 20 years. You know?
Most of the time I find myself in those situations to be docile like an abused woman. And there's really no cause for it. But I just kind of, what, Pip? What are you making the faces for?
Could you come up with a different analogy than an abused woman? Like, could you be like a lamb or something? I mean, Jesus.
You know what? I'm gonna channel the strength that I need and say, fuck you, Pip, and I'll move on.
There you go. There's a boy.
But that's because I know and love you. I can tell you what I think.
Thank you, honey.
Of course. So, now, I'm sure Joe's seen this too, because Joe's done more indoor shows. He's doing another one tonight than I have. The audience was unmasked. The audience, for the most part, is unmasked. So
really,
yeah. What the shows you've been doing? The audience have been sitting there with a mask.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Fuck. Now I feel even worse about things. Oh, so yeah, but I'm noticing this. The audience is unmasked, but you know you can't tell an audience to put masks on.
I saw a picture of the venue.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, you can. Because what happens is that these guys can be fined. And from Dino's, where I'm working tonight, to you know the workshop mics I've been doing, they have no problem with telling a comic or anything to wear a mask. You know, number one, they care about people's safety. But nobody wants to get fined.
But Joe, you got to remember, there's food and drink here, so they can't be. So if they're taking drinks, they're not going to have their mask on. That would be the excuse. You don't have to wear your mask in a restaurant,
right?
I think you should get a little straw and like slip it discreetly under your mask. I mean, try something.
So the people are probably, so they were not right up on the stage, but I still felt like they were close. But they were probably 6 feet away. But you know, but I'm just like noticing all these things I would never normally notice. And obviously, while we're all performing, including the people who just are doing instrumentals, nobody's wearing a mask when you're performing, and we're all sharing the stage, not together, but we're all sharing the stage. And the singer, right, who's very good, is you know, belting it out. So you know, she's got, you know, she's really singing. So you know, she's pushing a lot of air. You know,
right.
Yeah,
and
I got
to go into that same air zone afterwards,
with all that spittle hanging there.
Well, I mean, the spittle is going out to the audience where it belongs, but still, you know, it's funny. When I was talking, and it happens with me quite a bit, I guess. You know, you see the light, and I actually had a little spittle fly out. It's like, well, have a little COVID, people. Put on your mask, you fuckers.
I know. Isn't that the worst when you can see your own spittle fly out?
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
So, but here's something that I've never felt performing before, but I felt it, you know, before I went on when I'm sitting
Joy?
There. What?
Joy?
No, I worked for Joy Little, stupid.
Being proud?
Oh, all right.
You dick.
Isn't there a median that that's demanding your attention? Isn't it time to test out those brakes, Mr. Curry?
Is it slippery out there?
You don't want to be late for the gig. I do believe you should speed up.
Oh, you know what, though? You know, we're all, it's all fun and laughs now. Wouldn't you feel like the biggest dickbag if something actually happened to him while we're busting his balls about his brakes?
No, oh, if he died, I could promote that. I go, hey, listen, you've never heard this on the radio before. Somebody dying on air. And, you know, Joe would finally become a household name, as he'd be the comic who died on air. And he'd probably get, like, a ticket later because he shouldn't be talking on the phone while he's driving. So it all works out.
A quick side story. I got my balls busted on Ann's show today. I wasn't even on the show. They're talking about comics busting each other's balls, and then Anthony goes, yeah, my friends, you know, Joe Curry and blah, 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 blah. You know, we bust each other's balls for years. And then Don Jameson is on the show, and he brings up the like a couple of months ago when I said veneer instead of genre.
Stupid.
And Don's like, yeah, we busted Joe's balls. And Anthony goes, whoa, what? He said what? He said, yeah, veneer instead of genre. He goes, holy shit. He goes, because I'm crashing at Ant's tonight because I want to go to the day program early. He goes, he's coming over the house tonight. They fucking lambasted me.
Good.
Oh, you're a dead man.
Good.
Yeah. I don't get to do it for 3 hours. It's good to know he comes home to it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so despite Joe's snarkiness, negativity, that certain sous-sant that he brings to the show, I felt
that
something.
Be in the bio.
What?
That should be in the bio.
It is in the bio. Remember when I tried to get you in a gig with me? They're like, he seems very angry.
That's right.
He seems very angry.
That, yeah, I said, because Joe, I had to submit a video clip. So I submitted Joe's video clip, and he's like, he seems very angry. You know, I had to lie and go, no, he's a lovely human being. Anyway.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So, but no, this is, all kidding aside, I never felt this before. I felt anxiety, not about performing, just about being there. Like, I felt like the danger. And you got to remember, when I was in Iraq, which, you know, was pretty dangerous, I didn't have that at all. It never crossed my mind. I knew my family and friends were worried about me at home, but I never calculated the danger in my head. Because I probably looked at it like this. First of all, if something happened, it was just going to be to me. With COVID, even if I were to get it and I was fine, I could get other people very sick. So there's that. Also, with Iraq, it was, you know, it was for a good cause. I really focused on, listen, I'm bringing this entertainment to these people who I really believe, not why they're there, but, you know, to bring joy to them. You know, even though I didn't support the war, I supported them. They're taking a gig on a Friday night, a half an hour from my house. There's nothing really heroic about it. I just wanted to work. So, like, I can't, you know, comfort myself. Oh, I'm doing something really good. No, I want to get out of the house. I want to make a little bit of money. I wanted to, you know, I want a little bit of interaction. Like, it's completely selfish. It's not like I need that.
Hero
that.
Comic, save the day. Right. Hero Comic, he's on his way.
No, but when you go overseas, there is an element of that. There's no element of that at the resort. Everybody's going to be fine if I don't show up. Me working is completely selfish. And that's part, like, there's no justification. So I felt this anxiety. I'm thinking, like, what am I doing here? This doesn't feel, because, you know, when I was in Iraq, you know, I don't know the people who are looking after us, but you comfort yourself, well, this is America's military, and they're the best, and they're going to protect us. You don't really think about, well, this is a resort, and they have the best management and wait staff, and they're really interested in the performers. No.
I'll put it to you this way. When you're in Iraq, if there's gunfire, you're like, all right, that's the enemy over there firing at us. You know, so you know where the gunfire is coming from. You don't know who's sick,
right,
or who's not sick. You know, so basically in Iraq, you know, if you hear gunfire coming, it's over there, that's the enemy. You know, but here, you don't know who's sick and not sick.
Right. It's the invisible enemy. I was a wartime comedian. So I have this guilt in my head. I have this.
I love the way you say you're a wartime comedian. Like you came onto the beaches of Normandy with a mic stand.
No, that was. Yeah. Well, listen. Certainly, a little yucks would have made it go better for the fellers.
Yeah.
No. I said I was a wartime comedian because President Trump, when he was interested in COVID-19, you remember that week and a half, he called himself a wartime president. That was my takeoff on it. Since I'm performing during COVID, I'm a wartime comedian. That's what that was, Joe.
Right.
I like that.
Thank you. Finally, the support I need. So this is a very fancy, expensive resort. So I make adjustments. So one again, I'm nervous because I have to remember my act when I'm working all the time. It's never in my head what jokes am I going to do. I don't know until I hit the stage. I have good command of a wide variety of material, but now because I'm not working all the time, I don't feel like I have that command. I'm going over my set. Joe always does this, goes over set lists, but I never do that. So now before the show, during the day, I'm going over set lists and everything. Plus, I'm opening with brand new stuff or stuff I haven't done very much. I mean, I've been opening with the same stuff for several years, always works well, but now I'm opening with all this COVID stuff, and even still, because it's been going on for several months, I got to take some out, put some in. Then I got the whole Trump factor. It's like, all right, I got it. Which Trump jokes can I still do? Which ones can I put in? Then you got to work in some Kamala and some. So there's a lot of moving parts in this act, which I don't really have command of anymore. At least that's the thinking.
And the parts that, now that things are winding down, about a month ago, all those parts were changing and moving and stuff like that. So what you might do one night is not even relevant the next night.
Well, I don't know if COVID's winding down. I don't know.
Not COVID, but everything on the election. Like, I'm going to do a couple of jokes, and now it's starting to stabilize, But when everything was going on, it's like, especially with the workshops, because I'm doing the workshops, What you were doing on Monday night wasn't relative on Thursday night.
Well, that has always been the thing with our current president is he's always giving new material. There's always a new hot button issue, a new hot topic. So it's always hard to figure out what can I keep and what is the time to get rid of. I mean, I had jokes written that just never got to stage because it was already old before the weekend come. But now I'm getting rid of like Trump jokes that had been like applause breaks, and I could probably still do them. God knows we still hear Bill Clinton cigar jokes. I mean, I could probably still do them, but I don't want. But it's like, well, I like to be fresh. So I got I have this set list that is interchangeable. I'm worried about dying. I'm worried about my selfishness. I'm worried about spreading the disease. It's a really nice place. So I have all these things going on in my head. So
can I ask you a question? And I'm not being an asshole.
That's
you
mean
dying physically or dying on stage?
Physically. I don't really worry. I worry about not remembering my jokes. Like, I worry about that, which I never really did before. I would have dreams about that. But I don't worry about going 30 minutes and not being funny. Now, it's happened. It hasn't happened in a long time, thankfully. But, you get to these gigs, it could be the night. I just feel like I have enough moves and a command of enough of material to get it going. But, no, I was worried. In this particular instance, I was worried about the COVID factor. But go on.
And the reason I bring that up is, and I mentioned it before on the show, I was here last month sitting in the same spot in the parking lot having a panic attack. Because I don't know what's going to work. I don't know what's not going to work. I don't know what people are fucking thinking, And when you get out there and you hear this stuff around, it's like, all right, everything is fine. And you start get back in your groove. But I, like I said, I've been doing this 23 years, and I was having a panic attack. I think I had a panic attack only one other time 12 years ago, and that was due to a day program-related thing that carried itself into the weekend, never about the gig itself. And I'll tell you, Dad, when we were down in Myrtle Beach, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was having a couple of bad sets. And going into that Friday night, or actually going into that Saturday night, I should have been freaking out. But I really wanted to do stand-up, and that was coming off of two really bad sets. So it's not even, it's your material, you try to tweak it. But the way things have changed, society has changed as well. So you don't know what the fuck to expect.
Well, what it takes away from me is I think people who see me on perform will say that I'm very loose on stage. And I feel that this kind of inhibits me. Now, fortunately, the audience can't tell, but I can tell. It's like, ugh, I'm not loose. Now, it was funny. I'll jump ahead. There was a woman who goes that Trump isn't leaving on the second show, and I kind of did what I did on the radio show last week. Well, they'll never take me alive. Put the Resolute desk in front of the door. They're not going to get me. I'm Donald Trump. You know, I did that whole thing, like, mocking her. And like he's not going to leave. You could just see chubby little Trump with his short little stubby fingers trying to move a desk, but he's winded. You know, so they don't take him out. And you see Melania left, like, a day ago because she's had enough of this shit already. You know, they're doing renovations to Mar-a-Lago. They think it's for Donald Trump. No, that's for Melania. That it's like, this is where Donald lives, this is where Melania lives. It's going to be like those old sitcoms. Like, I saw Joe posted about Gilligan's Island today. There was a Gilligan's Island episode where the skipper and Gilligan were fighting, so they drew a line down the middle of the hut. That's going to be Mar-a-Lago.
If they're still together.
I caught a lot of shit from that Gilligan's Island post. God almighty, I don't catch that much when I comment on policy. Holy shit.
Well, you're very edgy, Joe. Your Gilligan's Island material is always a hot take.
It's just, I'm watching. I go to show as unwatchable as it always ever was.
So the singer I'm working... The singer.
I know some guy was immediately into Watch for the Girls. I'm like, aren't there other shows you can watch for the girls?
Aren't the girls dead? Anyway. Watch for the girls that used to be alive 40 years ago. Okay. Whatever. So the singer I'm working with she's actually very talented. She sings on, she's a Sony recording artist, and she sings on the Claritin commercial. And Joe, maybe you can answer this for me. I never understand this. I'm sure you've been in these like cabaret type shows when it's, or like, you know, where there's all different types of acts. Why is the singer always go on before the comic?
The comic usually goes on before the singer.
No. Every time when I did the cruise ship, when I've done stuff like this, unless, like, you're opening for the band, unless, like, the band is a known entity. Like, I opened for, like, the Jersey cover band, The Nerds, years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, sometimes, Joey Vega's a comic we know. He's open for musicians like Mark Anthony and all. Like, sometimes...
Right. Yes, he goes on the road with them, yeah.
But when you do these, you know, when you do these shows, at least I found, when you do these shows where everybody is professional... Is a professional, and they have some credits, but nobody's, you know, packing them in because of their name, which is where I consider myself in this group.
I remember one thing, yeah, and it's funny because I was doing a show, a cabaret-style show in Brooklyn one night, and I did it twice. The first time, the audience was fantastic. The singer destroyed, we all destroyed, stuff like that, and then I did it maybe a couple months later, and the singer, there was a duet, and they both go up, and they do... all these nice songs and stuff like that, and they're getting nothing. And then they bring me up, and we're doing the pass. They look at me, they go, boy, you're so fucked. And I went,
oh, no.
Got nothing, yeah.
So,
cabaret shows, sometimes the singer goes up before the comic, yeah.
I've always found that they do. So, now, in between the singer, the jazz band goes up and does 10 more minutes, so it's not straight, but still. But now people are dancing. So even if you're doing, like, if you do, like, these private events and there's a DJ, it's the same situation here. Hey, we're all dancing and having a good time. Now sit your ass down so we can hear some jokes. Nobody wants to sit down when they're already dancing. Nobody wants to hear my stupidity if we're up and dancing.
Oh.
And the waitress...
And you can't say anything. You got to sit there and, you know, figure it out. You want to go, do you know how to put together a fucking show? You know, but you can't
right?
Like to say.
You got to do the gig. Now, the waitresses are dancing, which was very nice with some of the patrons and everything, but I'm just thinking, well, that's not very socially distant at all. But anyway.
No.
So I got to go up, and I do good. I do good on the first show.
How much time are you doing? How much time are you doing?
I'm doing 30.
Okay.
So I do good on the first show. You know, I feel a little tight, but nobody can tell. And the staff is very nice to me. In between shows, I find from several sources that last week's comedian, they did not like at all.
Mm. Oh.
I believe at one point I was told he turned his back to the audience.
Oh, boy.
What is he, a bass player? He just... I give up.
He's like, you can't see me. You don't get dessert. You don't deserve to see my front. I don't know. Never good when
who
it comes.
Who does that?
You do it when you're defeated. What?
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't know who it was. Now, apparently, the second show, or one of the shows, I should say, there was a lot of women. And here's the thing about women. If they don't like you, they'll make it known. Women and African Americans are similar in that way. Oh, yeah. The honesty. God bless the honesty. But here's the difference.
On stage and off stage.
What?
Yeah. On stage and off stage.
Here's the difference. If African American people don't enjoy you, everybody else can still enjoy you. If women do not enjoy you, show's over. Because now the guys can't even laugh anymore. Nobody can laugh if the women in the place aren't having a good time. So this guy, right. So this guy, I guess, pissed them all off. Actually, one of the waiters, I think, called him garbage. So,
oh, my God. So,
fortunately, I was not having that experience. So then, the second show goes on, and the singer gets a standing ovation. What the fuck is that? I don't need that. I go, what are you doing? I go, I haven't worked since March. What are you doing? How dare you? I said this to her.
You know what? And you should have opened with that and called a moment.
Well, I had 10 minutes for the jazz band to do an extended version of Cheap Trick's The Flame.
Okay, fiddlesticks. All right.
No, but it was a lot of It was a lot of depressing music, like a lot of bad breakup music and everything. But she's married, so I think I said something. I go, you know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for her husband, because everybody's walking up to him and punching him in the balls. Go, why are you hurting that nice woman? So that kind of. And after the show, she told me she liked it. I go, this is what would happen if Taylor Swift stayed with the same guy.
Oh, yeah. He would get jumped in the parking lot. Yeah.
But she gets a standing ovation. I was like, oh, I've never had a standing ovation in front of me before. Thank goodness, you know, the many times I've had great features, never a standing ovation in front of me. No. Now I got to follow goddamn standing ovation. So, What did I say?
But that's good, isn't it? They're in a really good mood.
But I'm not bringing. Yes, it's good. It's better than them hating. But I'm not bringing anything like that. If I sing, the audience will turn their back to me. I am not bringing I am not bringing the same talents to the stage. It's not. Listen, it's bad enough if I'm working with Joe and Joe gets a standing ovation in front of me. I mean, good for Joe. I'm glad he did well. But it's like, oh, fuck, I got to follow that now. But I'm still a comic. I got a chance. I'm bringing a skill set to the stage. You know, if Joe goes up there and does, you know, 30 minutes of keyboards and gets a standing ovation, I'm fucked. I can't play a keyboard. I can snap. I can cluck my tongue. I can whistle. But I can't play a keyboard. So if they're going to give
It's almost like not only standing ovation, but like when Kevin James would come out to try material at Governor's, you know, we'd always have, you know, you'd have the comic that has to follow Kevin, you know, and he would come out, you know, it's like Rich Walker, our buddy Rich Walker had to follow Kevin, had a great line. He goes, how was it nice for Kevin to open for me, you know, so, but you sit there and you feel for the guy, because you got, I know, you know, Kevin's doing new stuff, but he's done a couple of things, but still, nonetheless. You know, Kevin comes out to a standing ovation and stuff like that, and the people, you know, it's Kevin, it's an icon, and now you got to come right out, you know, right after.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that guy, it's like, you know, you look at him and go, yeah, you're so fucked.
I was featuring in Milwaukee years ago, and I don't remember the headliner. He was a good headliner. They loved him there. But Greg Giraldo, may he rest in peace, popped in for a guest spot. And Greg, you know, Greg was great comedian. He just goes up there and slays. He didn't get a standing ovation, but he just slayed. So I go to the headline. I go, open with the arms.
What do you do at that point? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean.
I was watching, I think it was the Comedians in Cars Having Coffee or one of the shows, and they were talking about different people that would stop into, you know, when they were very famous and would stop into the clubs and do a set. And then there's like the rest of the poor bastards standing there lined up that they gotta go after you, you know, came in and, you know, worked out some workshops and stuff. But it's like, big famous guy, who's this schmuck?
Well, I remember years ago when I was first starting out, I was on a show at Stand Up New York, and he was well known at the time. But Adam Ferrara opened for me. Now I don't know if I don't know if Adam looks at it that way, but he was the guy right in front of me. So it's like, yeah. It's like I'm brand new. I'm like a year or two in, and now I got to follow this. Are you kidding me? I
mean, it's so brutal.
But that's the business. There's nothing you can do about it. As Joe said, you call the moment, and you know you go on.
Well, when I was down here last month, the first night Dino opened. He had, Voss was hanging out. He goes, Richie's going to go up and he's going to do 10. And then you come up and Richie just destroys. So I'm like, I got to think of something. So I get up there and I'm like, yeah, I asked the owner what it would take to follow Rich Voss. And he said a fucking plague. And that got a great break. And I'm like, ooh, thank God. You know, that was a nice, you know, because Richie, you know, his Voss, he's fucking phenomenal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I did notice I was much looser on this second show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the repetition of even doing it once, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was,
yeah, absolutely.
It was that was a really good show. So I even sold merch. That was a nice change of pace.
Mm.
Yeah, really nice. That's like when I did theater and the first time you go up and I mean, thank God they had previews. You know, the first time you do a show in front of an audience and it sucks on ice, you're like, oh. God, how do we do this? But you know what? Having the opportunity to do it in front of people and learn from your mistakes, then opening night is usually fine.
Yeah, but there's no. I'm not getting a dry run. My dry run is in the basement alone.
Yeah. Yes. I know. But I mean, the first show is your like dry run for the second.
Not really, because those people pay the same amount of money. It's not real.
I know.
They don't give a shit. Now, I would open the show and tell them I haven't worked since March. I am softening the ground for myself. I am lowering the bar. which I think
most people are understanding, though.
I am so happy to see people not on a Zoom screen. You know, I'm happy. You know, everybody can relate to that. I think on the second show I called it the COVID comedy extravaganza. So on the second,
hey, Davin.
Yes,
Davin. I hate to interrupt you. Have you noticed that the attitude of people are just so happy to be there? You know, we're happy to be on stage, and they're so happy to be here. You know, to be there. That it. It's fun because people just want to get out and laugh.
Well,
and it sounds kind of cornball, but it's just from what I've been finding, people are just because you don't have people that are just. They want to get out. They don't want to see a movie tonight. They don't want to. They just want to go out, kick back, and laugh and have a good time. And that's what I've noticed.
We
started getting rolling again with this shit.
But some of that leads to excessive drinking and chatting. Like in the second show, there was a bachelorette party, which of course I had to deal with.
No matter what happens, they all
Exactly. And and like I said, there was the woman who said Trump isn't leaving, and I had to go off. So whatever it is with me, yes, they're all happy to be out, and they're all happy to share with me. They all want to talk to me while I'm trying to work. Fortunately, I still got my chops enough where I can go with it. I mean, it does come back a lot quicker than I thought it was going to. So,
well, you didn't turn into a different person since March. You know how to get a fair the fence.
Yeah, but society, from the way the media portrays it, changed. So you go up and you don't know what you could say or what you can't say. You know, it's nerve-wracking until you actually get up there and start rolling with the shit.
I'm not trying to make light of that. I understand the pressure.
There's part of it, but I mean, listen, there's a reason why baseball players have spring training. I mean, they take a couple of months off, and we took even more time off. You're an MVP. What, you forgot how to play baseball? No, but I got to get back in the swing of things. I need the repetitions. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's a muscle.
Were you doing sprints in your backyard?
I was twisting and stretching in the green room. I was doing that.
Great.
Because I was getting tight. So the guy who hired the agency was there. So that show went really well. The staff was extremely complimentary. They wanted me back. And this was nice. The guy who hired the agency wrote a letter to the agency saying, we definitely want this guy back. He's the best we've had. He lives close by. And the agency forwarded it to me, which doesn't usually happen. Usually they only forward bad news to you. So.
Yeah, that's human nature, unfortunately. But that's really great. Wow, you should be proud.
It's not really pride. It's relief. You know.
Yeah.
I even felt that the first show I did like a month or two ago when I did it outside. It's like, all right, I thought it was going to be a lot worse. But I still have, like, I have a weekend inside at Bananas if it doesn't get canceled again because of COVID. And again, I'm having these same things. I'm like, what am I doing these inside shows? Because we're getting to where we were in the spring. It's starting to go up and up. It's getting crazy. My daughter's school has now been shut down. They are now shutting down for the 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. Then they're going to open up and they're going to shut down for the 2 weeks after the Christmas break. And my daughter's been off since Halloween because the high school has been shut down. So it's creeping up there and people are getting more and more lax with this shit, including the politicians. That's a whole nother story from both sides of the aisle. I mean, real, they got the hypocrisy is fucking ridiculous. You know, between the Democrats and the Republicans, a pox on all their houses for their hypocrisy. They're going to tell us what to do and they can't even set good examples. But people are getting tired of this shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, I was just reading. I am not sure. I think it was in New York City. It might have been in Brooklyn. But they are having refrigerated boxes full of corpses again.
I love that.
The numbers are up that high.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite time of the year. An awful Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center and boxes full of corpses. I love this time of year.
That's one of the 12 days of Christmas.
It is. It's the most miserable time of the year.
Isn't it the most miserable time of the year?
The corpses are freezing. The president is teasing.
I thought it was 12 corpses corpsing.
12 corpses corpsing. Six coughers coughing. One iron lung. Two respirator technicians, God. three sick nurses, four doctors, no rest.
Now all right,
kids. All right, Joe, you and I, and Pip will get in on this afterwards. Joe, you and I need to block off some time. You and I are going to write a very COVID Christmas. You and I will write the lyrics, and Pip will do the singing of that, and we will record that. We have enough time to do that before. Can we make some time for that, Joe?
Yeah.
That's the enthusiasm we're looking for. I haven't asked you to write any songs in a while.
All right.
Oh, it's nice. It's a little holiday cheer before everybody dies. It's very nice.
Funny.
I think nine nurses leaping. That works for me.
Nine nurses leaping?
Leaping.
Doesn't make sense.
The Lords are leaping, they're leaping right, to the call.
You'll just sing the lyrics.
Yeah, really, Pip.
We'll do the rest.
Thank you, Pip. We appreciate
you. Now you got me on board.
Yeah, thank you. See?
Yeah.
See, this is how it usually works. Like, I usually write, like, the lyrics, and then Joe will go over and go, yeah, but that doesn't go rhythmically, because Joe's got the ear for that. So then we got to workshop that. So Joe and I polish that up, and then we give it to Pip. And that's how it works.
All right.
There you go.
All right. So I will work on a rough draft and effort that to Joe, and Joe will give his thoughts on it, and then hopefully within the next couple of weeks we will give that to Pip, and we'll have a very COVID Christmas. Aw, the holiday jingle that all the kids will be singing from a socially safe distance outside your front yard.
A very COVID Christmas.
A very COVID Christmas. Very lovely.
That would be nice. A little COVID like ornament. Coronavirus ornament.
You know what? You could probably make that. You know, with like one of the red balls that you hang from the tree. You just put like some ZD. Like you paint some ZD and you glue that onto the edges of it.
Yeah, you know,
people are so
funny. You know, you have like all the treasured moments. This was my grandmother's from 1967. 1972, this is my fifth. What's this one? Oh, that's a coronavirus from 2020.
That they're selling that.
This is the year we lost Aunt Gladys. Oh, she loved this ornament. Actually, this was the last thing she saw before she died in her bed the next morning because we couldn't get her to the hospital because all the beds were full. Oh, I treasure the memories.
It's like last year going from 2019 that 20 years ago we thought the world was going to end. And from what we know now, we wish it would have.
Oh my God! Well, we had a good 20 year run. It was fun, you know.
Yeah, we had a nice run.
We did.
Holy
So what was it? The Aztecs or the Mayans, whichever ancient group it was, they were a little bit off. That's all. But they
the Mayans.
The Mayans?
Yeah.
The Aztecs did nothing?
No, they didn't do that. They didn't have the same kind of look into the future kind of thing.
I don't know. All right, well, let me ask you a question. Who is it the gays? Would Pat Robertson say the gays brought this upon us? Is that what it is? Is this another thing that the gays did?
No, this I don't think that they...
What?
Yeah, AIDS upon us.
No, but every time, but every time there's like something like, but when there's like a hurricane, you always hear like Pat Robertson chiming in with some asinine bullshit on the 700 Club. Oh, this is the gays. God's punishing us for the gays. So I figure this COVID thing must be with the gays. The gays brought the COVID.
Oh no, it's like no. Yeah, well, it's the gays. The gays brought on this hurricane. That was a low pressure system.
No, no, it was the gays. Why do you think it blows?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. You look at that hurricane just sashaying back and forth in the Gulf of Mexico, not making up its mind, shaking its little ass, going side to side. Of course it's going to go into New Orleans. It likes the horns.
Yeah. Blow!
Hello, I'm here. I'm Hurricane Pierre.
Funny. Alrighty, kids, I got to go into the club.
All right.
All right. Don't make yourself useful.
Have a good show, Joe.
Have a good Thanksgiving, you too.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Have a happy and safe.
Yes, you too.
And I will talk to you next week.
All right. See you later, Joe.
Okay. Take care.
Bye bye. If you happen to be down the shore,
bye.
Joe is at Uncle Vinny's right now. Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. Go see Joe Curry. Laugh. Have fun. All right. So you know what? This is a good time for you and I to take our break, Pip. And
yeah, I think so.
Come back with...
just in time for my Zoom to come back.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I see that now. Because we will come back with Kevin Lee. But on the break, we have new music from Danky Segal with Follow You, Follow Me. And you can learn more about Danky Segal at khb-music.de. And also on the break, we have Craig Cooney, ex-Rolette. I think, you know, these names, I hope I do them justice. You know.
I know, it's hard.
But it's Craig Cooney, ex-Rolette, with their song December. And you can learn more about them at fluttertone.com. So we'll be back in a short few minutes with comedian Kevin Lee, and we'll start with the police's secret list. We'll see who's naughty and who was nice, and a lot more fun and antics. So we'll see you